The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
We're here talking about thrive. And I just want to do some ramblings. Because sometimes when we talk about thrive, people equate it. No doubt you will thrive. But you can't thrive alone. It so happens that every step of your way that has taken you here, it has been people that have been ushered into your life. Either you know it or you do not know it, whether you actually appreciate it or not, you were warehoused by a woman. And for there to be a warehousing, somebody needed to donate a seed. And so all of us are products of help. Speaking about the man by the pool of Bethesda, he said, "I have no man." How did he get there? Jesus was passing on the way to Jericho. He knew that somebody was holding the money of that city. Jesus stopped by to bring that person into the kingdom. Mark chapter 2. Several days later, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. And after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go." He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Praise the Lord. The man would have died, the paralytic man. If not four friends. There are many of you after this conference, you need people that will carry you. I know you know how to sing, but it takes somebody to announce you. Jesus, the Messiah. Was announced by a man. Look at him, he's the one that takes away the sins of the world. May someone prominent announce you this week. The Bible says two of his disciples left him that day and they followed Jesus. Why? The problem is that you don't have four significant people in your life. The four significant people in your life may be the ones that you think that are insignificant. I'm sure the friends were still on the roof when he picked up his bag. There are many of you, you are not the paralytic man, you are the four men. That's what many people do not know. Many people just look for help, for somebody to help them. That's why I say you need a man and men need you. They are waiting. All is about me. Who will help me? Who will not help me? And Jesus is saying, no, you are not the paralytic man. You are among the four men. Can you allow somebody to thrive before you thrive? Because we are just talking about thrive. Can you stand back? You say, you know what? All of us are not supposed to go at the same time. The anointing is resting upon you. Why don't you go? Why we stay at home to help? Everybody wants to be first. And Jesus said, it's good for you to be first, but I want to tell you how to be first. He said, you want to be great? Serve everybody. You want to be number one? Be the slave of all. How many of you introduce yourself, I'm the slave? And so as we come into this conference, there's a question I want to ask. Who have you been sent to help? The Bible speaking about Jonathan. Bible speaking about Jonathan, he said, David, I know you will be king. This is the heir apparent to the throne. Who understood that although I'm the son of the king, my father does not own the throne anymore. It was the loyalty of Jonathan that killed him. How many of us can be loyal to the end? There are two things I've been sharing, and it's going to go on very well this season, especially in our nation. And they will be using it very well. Two things: loyalty and a good name. Young men, don't destroy your name now. Some of us even say, what is the name all about? There will be places where they will call your name. They will tell you, no, we don't need him here. Even thieves, no thieves. Who have you been sent to? Who have you been told, it's not time for you to show, let this person go? A man had a story one time, and he was sharing his testimony, talking about the father of John Austin. He was the one that preached to John Austin to give his life to Christ. And he said, look at what I did in this man's life and look at what this man has done. And so that means that if not for that man, you wouldn't have been seeing that church today. Then the question is that, how will we be rewarded in heaven? Are you going to tell me that Joel Austin will be rewarded more than the man? But the Bible says, I planted, Apollos watered. But God brought the increase. And the Bible says, it's not him that planted or he that watered. It's he that brings increase. So where does increase come from? Increase does not come from your planting, does not come from your watering. Increase comes from the Lord. The way we measure success in this kingdom is quite different from the way they measure success, the way the world measures success. And it may shock you that even in the kingdom, we measure success the way the world measures success. So are you not married? Then you are a fool. I don't understand. And you can go to bed and say, my life is not thriving because I'm not married. Or my life is not thriving because I don't have this. The first day of the week, I was talking about two things that will stop you, that will not make you thrive. Speaking about the worries of this life. Are you not shocked that what you used to be worried about 2 years ago did not really happen now? Talking about the second one, the deceitfulness of riches. These two things will make you not to see your helpers or make you not to know who to help. I remember one time coming from travel and we needed to go on TV. When I got in there, I saw they have already packed a church message. And they were very happy with themselves. What will you do? Can you stand for you to say, no, it's not me that will go. It's my wife that should go. And so, I knew that I can go to radio. And in radio, nobody knows your face. Or in TV. And so, I'm going to tell you that, listen, to help somebody, that means that you won't be on center stage. And one of the things that kills us too much is jealousy and envy. And what does jealousy say? Jealousy say that, God, what you are supposed to give me, you gave it to somebody and there's none remaining for me. And so sometimes we'll be walking together with my wife and somebody will say, good morning, mama. They'll look at me. Good morning. Will you still be normal? Will you still be normal when you are the one to back up? You are the one to play the instrument. Because somebody, God is highlighting the person for the person to be the one that will bring the presence of God down. And not because the person is the one bringing, we're a team. Somebody just has the face. The person that stole the show that got the result was the paralytic man. You know the funniest thing? Jesus did not say, thank you. Thank you, friends. You have done well. Nobody commended them. There are people that say, they don't recognize my importance. At the end of the day, you withdraw your hand from what God has ordained for you to do. The film industry has not helped us. It has made us to be individualistic. You cannot, in this kingdom, thrive alone. Cannot. You see, the culture of family, we are still unwrapping it. Until the church gets that culture of family right. I'm not saying we are going to get it perfectly. When we are not envious of each other, we are now in one accord. One accord is not about mindless conformity. One accord is that we have created a system to keep us together. We have created relational heat to keep us together. That means that if I offend you, and really, as long as I'm in your life, I will offend you. I'm serious. Even as I'm talking now, some of you are offended. Because you know what? God sometimes will speak to your heart, but your head will be confused. And it is normal. Like that mystery. Who am I supposed to connect my life to? Who am I supposed to extend help to? Because the person that raises up somebody is the person that goes up first. When I begin to lift you up, it is me that lifts first. But to the people in the world, it's the person they are seeing being lifted that goes up first. No. I'm the one that goes up first. And until we recognize that, I've seen parents suppressing their children. I've seen wives suppressing their husband. Husband suppressing their wives. The question is, who should go first? Who should go first? This year, And so sometimes when we finish TV program, the lines will be bursting for TV program. Oh, we have a question. We have a question. We have a question. And we are on radio. No one called. This year, February, made it 10 years. We are on radio and TV. What you see is not about the overt. One of the speakers of the reposition, Bodea Sinyombi, used to live far away and works in Ugbowo. And he said, those days, when I'm driving to work, I listen to you every time. Not a member of this church. Nothing. I was in a place with Pastor Clem today, and somebody came to meet me. And we greeted. He said, I listen to you every day. He said, your prayer, short and simple, blesses me. How come you didn't say it after 10 days? How come it's after 10 years? What if I had died? Do you know you don't know what you do by just standing? And somebody looks at that place and sees you. That's why you don't come to a family gathering looking down. Because somebody is watching you and say, I normally see that brother there. The way he's dancing gives me hope. I want you to ask the person next to you, who have you been sent to help? Ask the next person, who have you been sent to serve? The man that will speak to us today, I believe God sent him. To shape me, to scold me, to brush me, to teach me, and also to help me. But it was not sweet. Like I was saying, God sent him and sent me into his life. Everybody needs a man. I heard him preach that message many years ago, but I'm asking you, who have you been sent to? Who have you been sent to help? He has helped me. Not helped me to give me money. So I used to give my wife money and the thing used to reach my hand small sometimes. God sent him to give me wisdom, to impart into my life wisdom, to impart into my life joy. I learned how to smile and laugh like him. I used to be a very worried person. May you know the person that God sent you to and the person that God sent to you. Pray for you today that you will not use your hand to kill your Jonathan. And you will not, you that is sent to somebody will not kill the paralytic man. You need a man. I was here when that thing dropped. We need a man. You need a man, and somebody needs you. Don't because of your woundedness drive them away.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.